Good evening and welcome to the assembly of God's people to worship God in spirit and in truth in Jackson, Tennessee. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Tonight we will look at a passage of scripture from the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. A simple passage in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Part of a prayer which Jonah prayed while in the belly of the whale. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. An interesting prayer by Jonah in the circumstances in which he found himself. In dire straits. In fear for his life, more than likely. Resting his confidence and his trust and his faith on God, whom he had let down previously by refusing to follow his instruction to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to those people. But with a voice of thanksgiving in our text, he prays to God. And in his final statement, salvation is from the Lord. Jonah was in a position to be very seriously concerned about his life. Not knowing if he would survive the ordeal that he was undergoing at the time. But if anyone could help, if consolation could be found in any place, if salvation was possibly available anywhere, it had to come from God. Salvation is from the Lord. The last line of Jonah's prayer in the belly of the great fish. Possibly it referred to a temporal salvation. You know, how am I going to get out of this predicament? Possibly it referred to a spiritual salvation for Jonah. But it also really sets the theme for the entire short little book of Jonah. The principles illustrated are very much applicable to all ages. We might make the point from such an expression as this, that salvation is from the Lord only. Jonah's attempt to seek refuge in going to Tarshish was foolishness, wasn't it? It was folly. No people can be saved if they make an about face from the direction that God wishes them to go. And that's exactly what Jonah had done. He had money to pay the fare, but financial independence will not make us right with God. It didn't make Jonah right with God. Seeking security of a ship to transport him to the place that he wanted to go, that didn't make him right with God. That didn't make his circumstances good. The ship offered no security for him whatsoever. No device of man, no creation of man, no invention of man, nothing that man comes up with could ever make his salvation with God secure. You can just imagine the men on the ship and the sails that were set, probably torn to pieces by the storm, rowing of the ship, which people would do to maneuver it and try to position it so that it wouldn't be damaged or sunk in a storm like that. That wouldn't bring Jonah safely to shore. Men are powerless to save us from bad circumstances in life. Maybe that's why Jonah prayed the prayer that he did and clearly stated to God, salvation is from you. Salvation is from the Lord. Many live in this life, with one futile attempt after another, to position themselves in a better circumstance, to save themselves, whether it be from physical things, temporal bad circumstances, or whether it even be because of their sins and the realization that they're not living according to what God desires. But those attempts are futile. Titus records for us in the pages of the New Testament in Titus 3 and verse 5 that he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God saved us, Paul reminds Titus, according to his mercy. This is the God that Jonah appealed to in the belly of the whale, the God of mercy, the God who had the power and the wisdom and every means at his disposal to save him from his circumstances, which he did. From the fish, Jonah recognized that there was no other place that he could possibly look other than the one that he had spurned earlier. He felt the frustration of realizing that God is the only one with the power to rescue him. And many people in life don't realize the seriousness about God and relationship to God until they are in dire straits like Jonah was, until they were one heartbeat away from death, maybe. And sometimes people want to appeal to God and call to God when they realize God is the last resort. And any other attempt to search out and to seek out some kind of salvation is futile. That's really not a good situation. But it does pinpoint the concept that salvation is from the Lord. Tragic it is that some wait around too late in life before they seek salvation from God. They put off. They procrastinate. They delay important considerations for their soul and their condition in life many times until it's too late. And they look for salvation in other places where it cannot be found. Jonah emphasizes for us in his prayer that salvation is of the Lord only. Salvation is of the Lord because of his great compassion, because of his pity for men. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? God asked Jonah in the book, that the great city, and he described it as having a large number of people who didn't know their right hand from their left hand, that were innocent in the matter. And this question is really a key issue of the book. And compassion is a key word in the book, I think, or the pity of God. Jonah said, I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah had a pretty good idea about who God was, didn't he? He had spoken for God, but he personally in his life rejected the duty that God gave him to go to a place where he knew there were wicked people and preach a gospel of repentance to those people. But he knew that God was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. The whole Bible is the story, really, of God's compassion to lost humanity, don't you think? We count those blessed who endured, James said in James 5 and verse 11. You have heard of the endurance of Job and the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful, James wrote. Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, when he's talking about the great God who provides salvation for men, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God's gracious compassion, his willingness to forgive, those things are highlighted in the faith, in the spiritual understanding of those who believe in God and trust in his great power and wisdom. Other man-made religions begin with men seeking God. But when we look into the Bible, we see that God seeks men. And that's the scenario in which we read about his sending Christ to die on the cross to save us from our sins, and creating all sorts of providential, spiritual care, compassionate mercies for men through the ages because God cares for us. God seeks man. Christianity shows the one true, compassionate God who reaches out to man to deliver him from his bad circumstances because of the problem of sin. Salvation is of the Lord because of His great compassion. Salvation is of the Lord regardless of our prejudices. What Jonah sought for himself was something that he did not want for other people. He wanted God to save him out of his predicament. But what about the Ninevites? How did he feel about the people of Nineveh? He regarded them as wicked people, which they were in wickedness, and they needed to repent. He would not give them the thought of, maybe they'll change if I speak to them for God. Evangelism, teaching the gospel to the lost, has been hindered so many times by racial prejudices, by economic prejudices, by cultural prejudices, by national prejudices. The book of Jonah rebukes all such prejudices. In the gospel, Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus told his closest disciples, the 12, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to preach it to every man. The message of salvation is for all. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter, in the household of Cornelius, said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. And those were strong words to speak by a Jew in a Gentile household. We often excuse our prejudice sometimes by pointing to the evil that is characteristic of the lives of the people that we're not interested in preaching the gospel to. But are they worse than Nineveh? And what about the innocents? What about the innocent people that are affected by their relationships with those who are bound up in evil and wickedness and the sin of this life? What about their predicament? Was it any different than the innocents in the city of Nineveh when Jonah was commanded to go there and preach? Salvation is of the Lord regardless of man's prejudices. Salvation is of the Lord through the preaching of His Word, as is clearly depicted in the situation of Jonah. God has always used preaching to save lives. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, to any man, to Jew or Gentile, wherever they are from, whatever their heritage. God's power to save them is in the gospel. And how do they get that information about the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, Paul wrote to them and said, for since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those that believe. With many, the message of a Jew dying on a cross with a bunch of criminals doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have any power, any effect on them because of how they regard it. Paul said God chose this very message and this very situation so that there would be a kind of people with the right attitude and humility and good-hearted people and honest-hearted people that would pay attention to a message like that. And that message would lead them to salvation. It would be preached, and it would save those who believe. There is not a lengthy, but there are several passages of Scripture in Romans 10, verses 13 through 17, that touch on this very theme. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved," in quoting an Old Testament passage. And then in verse 14, "How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe on him and in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written?" And then he quotes another Old Testament passage. "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And thus we see how important, if we didn't know already from the Old Testament scriptures, but now it is clear, and we see how important that the preaching of God's message really is. It is the answer that men look for. It is the means by which they learn the truth of God. The book of Jonah is a great demonstration of the power of preaching. It was not in the enthusiasm of the preacher, but in spite of his attitude. The message, yes, was negative and the opposite of what would be considered by many as psychologically effective. Some don't understand how a message like Jonah preached was powerful enough to change an entire city and affect their spiritual outcome. But the preaching was successful because it was from God. Salvation is of the Lord through the preaching of His Word. Salvation is from the Lord when men make the right response. Some other response, other than repentance, in either Jonah or Nineveh, would have prevented the Lord from bringing salvation to them. Avoiding the subject, procrastination, putting it off, putting it out of our minds is not the answer to find God. Genuine repentance allows no such hesitation today. Paul, in preaching to the Jews, Peter, in preaching to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, there was nothing in his message that indicated to them that they had plenty of time to think about the message, plenty of time to make sure that they were carefully thought of it and made the right choice. Nothing that allowed them any procrastination whatsoever. And when they asked Peter, "What should we do?" he didn't say, "Mull it over for a while." He told them exactly what they needed to do to repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what they did. And in the cases of conversion, people who heard the gospel and responded to it in belief, they didn't wait around to the end of the month until other people were ready to obey the gospel, and then they could be baptized all at the same time. They immediately responded to the message of repentance. It was that important. Relationship with God was that significant for them in their lives. It was the right response to make. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias to Saul, "Why do you delay?" A question that we often skip over very quickly. What reason is there to delay? What need is there to delay? Why would anyone want to delay? Why do you, Saul, delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Appeal to God through being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Appeal to Him in the way that He wants you to, in the way that is right, through the right response, that He will wash away your sins. Do you view Jonah swallowed up by this great fish? Do you view that incident as being the tragedy of Jonah? Actually, that great fish was used to rescue him. and to bring him to the salvation that he prayed for in the belly of the great fish. The fish was used to rescue him. He was saved by a fish, so to speak. Many would think it strange that God would use a fish to save someone. But how is that more strange than God using a flood to save someone? In the days of Noah, when people were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, Peter said, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism now saves you, Peter said. Make the right response. Salvation is from the Lord when men make the right response. What is right in the eyes of God, not necessarily what is right in the eyes of men. Salvation is of the Lord, and that is always a cause for rejoicing, isn't it? In the pages of our Bibles, we can see, if we look carefully, the great rejoicing that is there by people who enjoy the blessings and the benefits of being in a right relationship with God. It's there, so clear for us to read. Jonah was the extreme opposite. It is ironic that this highly successful preacher was disappointed at the response of people to his message. Isn't that strange? In Luke 15 and verse 7, Luke records for us that Jesus said, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." In verse 10 of Luke 15, "In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents." Salvation of the Lord is always a cause for rejoicing. That's true in heaven. And don't we pray for, as things are in heaven, let them be on earth? Jonah was the Old Testament equivalent, I think, of the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son, also in Luke 15. In verse 24, "This son of mine was dead," the father tells his eldest son. This son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost, but now he's found." And they began to celebrate. You celebrate joyful things, don't you? You celebrate things that are good, things that are positive, things that bring a smile to your face and create joy and thanksgiving in your heart. You celebrate those things. "But the older son was in the field, and he came and approached the house. He heard music and dancing." He heard this joyful activity going on. "And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring, 'What could this be?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he received him back, safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I've been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.'" There was that resistance to a wonderful occasion of rejoicing. An occasion that would prompt the angels of heaven to shout with joy. And yet this older brother did not. There are many possible wrong attitudes about people who learn the gospel and repent. "I didn't know what I was doing. I just did it for my girlfriend," or "That's just a stage he's going through." Some reason like that. There are many possible wrong attitudes about people who learn the gospel and repent of their sins that don't make for an occasion of rejoicing. But genuine repentance is an occasion for great rejoicing. In Acts 8 and verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit snatched away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. But what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. He touched that vein. He found it. The rejoicing in heaven made the connection with the rejoicing in his life because he enjoyed forgiveness from his sins. Peter, giving the report at Jerusalem in Acts 11 and verse 18, when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. And this is what they said. Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. And what great rejoicing there would be in heaven, and there should have been on earth, that God has made a way for the Gentiles to enjoy His favor. What a great occasion for rejoicing. Acts 16 and verse 34, the jailer, he brought them to his house, set food before them. He rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with all his whole household. Salvation from the Lord is an occasion of great rejoicing. It touches that vein with what's going on in heaven. There's rejoicing there, and there should be rejoicing with us. Doesn't that really put for us a significant and a more important and a thoughtful meaning to Jonah's prayer in the belly of the whale, with the belly of the whale, when he says, "Salvation is from the Lord"? It does, in my opinion. The salvation of Jonah and the salvation of Nineveh are very unique in history. But we're offered a greater salvation today through the death of Jesus Christ and what He offers for men. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" We must pay more closer attention to it. The invitation is not from us, it's from God, because salvation is from the Lord. Men don't need to do what they do in response to the rules and the regulations of men. They must do what they do in seeking repentance and seeking forgiveness of their sins because God says. That's what God wants. The judge of all the earth commands men. And those are the commands that we need to pay special attention to. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian or you're not in a right relationship with God, do what God wants you to do. Do what you can read in His Word that you must do to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. Remember, salvation is not from men. Salvation is from the Lord. Appeal to the Lord through obedience to His will. Appeal to Him to save you on the basis that He promised that He would. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to confess Him before men? Will you repent of your sins? Will you be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? If such is your desire tonight, you can be raised to walk in newness of life, and you'll really, in a real and true way, realize salvation is indeed from the Lord. Can we help you tonight? If we can, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.